We're going to be thinking this morning about being led by the Spirit. And when we think about our core values in church, as we've been thinking about growing through these different core values, the overarching aspect over all these core values is being led by the Spirit. And I don't know what you think of when you think of a torch. Probably, do you think it's powerful, or do you probably think it's about light? And that's a nice torch. It's a great torch, but it will only give so much light out. But over here is an industrial floodlight that you would use for roadworks, that you would use if you wanted people to see what was going on the road in the night, so that the cars would be led through and they wouldn't crash into the roadwork. And that is a great industrial, powerful floodlight, and it's really good, really nice. And when we think of power as well, we think of other things that can produce power. That's a really nice floodlight. Maybe you'd like that in your living room. But maybe something you've got in your house already. Ta-da. I know some of you on the front row have been wondering, what is that thing at the front? It's a microwave, which is also very powerful, and that you can use generally to heat things up, let's be honest. You're heating bits of food up. You're not really doing any gourmet cooking in that. But here is a powerful microwave. It's a Sharp microwave. Not sure how many watts it is, but it's a powerful microwave that can be used to heat things up. It's really good. So a microwave and some lovely floodlights over here. Powerful. They're not really effective, though, are they, unless they're plugged in to the power source? They're not really effective unless they're plugged in and actually charged up to do what they've been made to do, unless they're accessing the power to which they've been made to light something up or to cook something or warm something up in the microwave. And often in our lives, we live through knowing Jesus, through knowing about the power of the Holy Spirit. But we can often know about these things, but actually not actually access the power that has been promised to us. We can live lives that in many ways, if we're honest, can deny the power of who God is in our lives. I wonder if you came to church this morning feeling particularly powerful. I suspect probably not. Many of us in our own lives probably feel quite weak. Many of us in our own Christian walk, if we're a Christian this morning, often feel that it's more kind of down than up. And sometimes it can be difficult, and sometimes it can be hard. We don't necessarily feel that kind of powerfully strong a Christian. And it's not about being sort of powerful in the sense of nothing ever goes wrong in our life, or we don't talk about our struggles. But there's a sense in which we don't necessarily access the power that has been given to us in Christ through the Holy Spirit. And I wonder this morning whether some of our things in life, some of our apathy, some of our struggles, is because we don't spend time on our knees praying with our hands wide open, asking God to come by his Holy Spirit to enable us to know him more. Our lives are often so busy at work, busy at church, busy with family, busy with friends. But yet, in the midst of that busyness, there is a noise in the background. There's a kind of humming in the background. There's a prompting in the background, which is the prompting of the Holy Spirit, which is saying to us, would you just slow down? Would you just stop and get on your knees and plug into the power source that I have promised you? I wonder if that resonates with you this morning. Do you feel busy, cluttered? Your life is full of various thoughts and information as we spend 3.5 hours a day on average on technology, and information comes our way, left, right, and center. Do we stop and desire to know God more? I certainly know that I do. I certainly know that I need, even if it's the only place in the house is the toilet, and to be on my knees for 5 minutes in silence where nobody can reach me, to ask for the Holy Spirit to come, empower me, show me Jesus, show me how to live, show me how to be led. And there's somebody in the Bible that I really empathize with, and I'm sure you do as well, in Matthew 26. And we're going to be thinking a bit about Peter pre-Pentecost and post-Pentecost this morning. And we can empathize with Peter because in Matthew 26, regarding Jesus, it says, "Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, 'You also were with Jesus the Galilean.' But he denied it before them all, saying, 'I don't know what you mean. I don't know what you're talking about.' And then when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl said to him and said to the bystanders, 'This man was with Jesus of Nazareth.' And again, he denied it with an oath, saying, 'I don't know the man.' After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, 'Certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you.' Then he began to invoke a curse on him and swear, 'I don't know the man.' And immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, 'Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.' And he went out and wept bitterly." There is that sense, isn't there, that sinking feeling, if we're honest, that we know in the depths of our being how easy it is to deny Jesus. Whether it's in school and people are saying to us, "Well, aren't you one of those holy ones that go to the church and we just shut up?" Whether it's in doing what God has called us to do to be obedient to him, that is maybe coming to Christ and trusting in him that he's our Lord and King for the first time. Whether that's trusting in obedience to him, knowing that he's maybe calling us to something like baptism and knowing that the Holy Spirit prompts us in that direction but yet runs in another way. Knowing that actually it's so easy to deny Christ with the way that we spend our money or the way that we speak or the way that we live in the workplace, that it's so easy to deny Christ. And yet, what is the outcome for Peter? Was it that he was filled with self-righteousness and joy? Was he filled with I got away with that one. At least I'm not in prison. No, it wasn't. It was that he went out and wept bitterly. The bitter disappointment of denying Christ in our life by what we say or what we don't say. The bitter disappointment of denying Christ in the way that we live that does not lead to joy but leads to bitterness and heartache, knowing that there is a longing for Christ to be more present in our life and that we shine like lights for Christ. Maybe this morning we're here and we're living with bitter disappointment about the fact that we are not magnifying Christ in our life, but yet we're denying Christ. It doesn't lead to joy. It doesn't lead to joy. The only way that we know Christ fully in his full presence and joy is when we trust in him and rely on his power, the Holy Spirit, that we will not deny him in the way that we live our lives and the way that we speak. Isn't it more attractive to be full of the joy of the Spirit and living for him rather than denying him and his power in our life? How are you doing with that this morning? Are you walking close to Christ, or are you denying Christ in your life? Being led by the Spirit in Acts chapter 2, we read, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." So pre-cross and resurrection, people were looking to be faithful, to serve God. At times in the Old Testament, we read of the Holy Spirit coming on individuals in order that they would do certain tasks or acts. But then what we see is that the Holy Spirit comes in Acts chapter 2 and rests upon his people and fills his people. fills them that they might live different lives, not to be trusting in their own power and their own strength, not to be trusting in religiosity, but to actually rely upon the Holy Spirit in order to do what God had called them to do, which was mostly to be filled up and to be sent out. And if you read through Acts, it's constantly fill up, send out, fill up, send out, face persecution, be filled with the Spirit, be sent out. It was never intended that Pentecost would happen so that we could sit on a spiritual sofa and say, isn't it marvelous? I'm just filled with the Holy Spirit. I think I'm going to go and sit on that other sofa and be filled with the Spirit and just chill out for the rest of my days. And that was a great experience. I'll just sit on that sofa there because it gave me a better experience than that one. To know the power of the Holy Spirit, to magnify Christ, to fill us up and to send us out. The empowering of the Holy Spirit came at a dramatic point in history that would say, go. The gospel was flourishing because people were filled with the Spirit and were not denying Christ and were facing all kinds of persecution and heartache and trouble, being put on crosses, beaten up, stoned to death, shipwrecked, all kinds of things. And they could not do that if they were relying on their own strength. Why would we want to tell anyone about Jesus? Why would we want to live for Christ if you're just doing it in your own strength? There's a thought. When was the last time you spoke to anyone about Jesus? Or are you just relying on your own strength? Subtly denying Christ. Because when the Holy Spirit comes and we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we begin to see Christ more clearly for who he is and live for him with boldness and courage, sharing that with others. And so the Holy Spirit rested at this time on the people who were there. And I love this quote by A.W. Tozer that says this: the Spirit-filled life is not a special deluxe edition of Christianity. It is part and parcel of the total plan of God for his people. Let me read that again. The Spirit-filled life is not a special deluxe edition of Christianity. It's part and parcel of the total plan of God for his people. I just want to be upfront about this. In a church like ours, we're quite diverse. Some people this morning here have never really given much thought to the Holy Spirit. You've grown up thinking about the Father and the Son and possibly the Holy Bible. But you've never really thought about the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit, when you're filled with the Spirit and look to the Holy Spirit, will change your life and enable you to be filled in a way that you will begin to live for Christ in his strength. Maybe this morning, it's possible that you've denied implicitly the existence of the Holy Spirit in your life, maybe just because the kind of church you've been brought up in. And it's just recognizing that we don't deny the work of the Holy Spirit, that God is Father, Son, and Spirit. God is three persons as one. The Holy Spirit is a person of the Godhead to whom we relate to as much as the Father and the Son. But on the other side of the fence, it's maybe that actually all we ever think about or talk about is the Holy Spirit, but we never actually talk much about Jesus and the Father. In other words, everything is about the Holy Spirit. Everything is seen through the lens of the Holy Spirit, and as well, not recognizing that God is the Father, Son, and Spirit, that we worship the God, the Trinitarian God, the Father, Son, and Spirit in relationship to one another. It's not Jesus plus another gospel called the Holy Spirit. It's the gospel of Christ, which is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to whom we look to and trust in. And so we, in our understanding of the Holy Spirit, need to get that balance of the Trinity, that it's Father, Son, and Spirit, but do not deny the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, but see that in balance with the Trinity. So being led by the Spirit in Acts 2, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." Why is this so important? Let's think of Peter pre-Pentecost. He was struggling to even accept and say that he believed in Jesus and he was Jesus' friend. But yet, as the Holy Spirit came and filled him. It empowered him to go and to preach and to be unashamed of the gospel, to preach, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. That's the core of the gospel, that we recognize that we are sinful people and the Holy Spirit does an amazing work. In that, in my life, at a point, I recognized that the Holy Spirit illuminated my heart, showed me that I was sinful, showed me that I fell short of God's standards, that I was loving other things more than God, and that I needed to trust in Christ and ask for forgiveness that I might be forgiven and set free in Christ. And it's the Holy Spirit who does that work. So that as we're hearing this morning, this message, it's the Holy Spirit who is prodding your mind and your heart and saying, that's a little bit like you. Have you thought of that one? Yeah, actually, you need to maybe consider that. It's the Holy Spirit at work. That's why we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, that actually it's the Holy Spirit who shows us our need of Christ and that we are sinful people. And that we mustn't stay where we are, but trust in the work of Christ on the cross that we might be forgiven. Isn't it amazing how much we see in Acts 2 the correlation between repentance, the Holy Spirit working, showing people's need of repentance, people being baptized, people being forgiven, and receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. It happens on that day. And Peter is empowered to preach. Fumbling, stumbling, Peter steps up, like me often on a Sunday, often weak, and you might think he knows how to preach, but to be honest, I'm on my knees asking for the Holy Spirit to come and to help me. So here is Peter at work preaching in the power of the Holy Spirit. Post-cross and resurrection, has he encountered Christ, he's encountered the Holy Spirit. And so what happens? Acts 3:40, with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Wow. That is a pretty impressive first evangelistic preach. Now, we know that that doesn't happen all the time, and it doesn't happen all the time. Well, we'd have a pretty major logistical problem, pretty tight for space as it is. But, you know, Lord, if you want 3,000, help us sort it out. But it's, can you just imagine 3,000 people coming to faith in Christ on that day? And, you know, I think Peter had a choice in this whole process. He could have, like, encountered the risen Christ. He could have been filled with the Holy Spirit. But he could have just said, you know what, nice idea. But to be honest, I'm a little scared of preaching to all these people, so I'll not bother. But he chose to be obedient to God in the power of the Holy Spirit. And as a result, we saw incredible work and fruit of God as a result that 3,000 people became a Christian. And so, what was the effectiveness of Peter? The effectiveness of Peter is not such that, how do we apply that? It's not that we all necessarily have to be preachers, expect 3,000 people to be saved, but that we trust God in areas of our life for his Holy Spirit to help us. That maybe just to be more courageous in the workplace or the home. Trust him where we're tempted to fear about things and worry about things. Trust him in his power. And when we do that, we see an effect. Trusting in his power should change the way we live. So here is this lovely industrial light once again. Isn't it beautiful? But it's more effective and it fulfills its purpose when it's turned on. Sorry for blinding a few people there. But here is this incredibly powerful light and standing here and feel the heat coming off of it. But this light is having an effect as the people squint at the front row, because you can see the effect that power has on this light, that it fulfills its purpose. You can turn it off now before people make a claim, compensation claim. This light fulfills what it was supposed to do because of the power that is surging through it. And to not put that plug on would deny what it's been made to do. That it illuminates the ground before it so that cars can see where it's going and they don't drive down potholes and all these kinds of things. But in the same way, we read further on in this passage in Acts chapter 3, then Peter said, and he was with John. Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk, and then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And as I reflected on that this week, it's quite apparent that if that happens as it did, there is praise and there is rejoicing. He was walking and jumping and praising God. And so, again, it's that choice that Peter had in whether he was being obedient to God. And I love the fact that this is not just about some cold-hearted, it's not just like some pragmatic healing, like, okay, well, here we are, we've been given the Holy Spirit, so there's two guys over there, there's one guy over there, we better just kind of pray for them and get on with this thing. That their hearts were moved with compassion by the Holy Spirit. And as we wait on God, and as we read his word, and as we learn more what it is to understand the Father's heart in our life, we should become more sensitive to the needs of others. Again, the work of the Holy Spirit in our life is not just to say, well, I had a right buzz there. I went on that conference and I feel completely buzzed up after that. Oh, now I'm on a downer. You know, it's not spiritual crack cocaine. It is about encountering God so that we become more like the Father, and so that as we see someone in need, as we're standing at the bus stop who clearly needs our help, we help them. As we see somebody who maybe needs prayer, we take the risk and we pray for them. As we see somebody who needs help, we help them. Because actually, the more we trust in the Holy Spirit, the more we look to God, the more we should be really hearing what he's saying and not just doing our own thing all the time. So that power is at work. And let's just pray the smoke alarm doesn't go off. So this is my culinary skills go a little bit beyond that, I can assure you. So let me just see this side down. So here we have some popcorn. I don't know if you do this kind of thing at home or not, but it's kind of basically a load of seeds in here, which are surrounded by a load of buttery sludge. And something happens when you connect that buttery sludge to the microwaves in this microwave, the power in this microwave. And, power level. Yes. Let's try 2 minutes. 3 minutes, I think it's going to be. You know, it's always an awkward one. I don't know if you have this problem with microwave popcorn, because you don't want to burn it, but you also don't want to be robbed with loads of seeds at the bottom of the bag. So you know that sort of situation where you get the bag and you're like, I've got half a bag here and loads of ridiculously useless seeds. If I'm really hungry, I might try and bite a couple and eat them. But you've got to get it right. So there's a right balance here, okay? Right balance of the Holy Spirit. Right balance of power. So we'll go for 2 minutes, and I think that will help. That will get us on our way. Anyway, let's start this. Start. Okay, here we go. Anyway, so a bunch of seeds with sludge around them, and then as the microwaves are working, they don't just stay the same. As that power works on the seeds, it begins to produce some popping, we hope, and some change. Who got this microwave? where did we get it from? Sorry. Anyway, not a lot happening at the minute. So I take it 100 is the top power, is it or not? No. It's not, no? Let's start again. Oh, hold on, I heard a pop. Uh-oh, we just started. You see, don't jump ahead of the game. Be patient. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. Okay, it's probably going to be a three-minute job, isn't it? Not a two-minute job. See, that's the difficulty, working out really how much time is needed on this. No. Okay, Well, and if you could keep an eye on that for me, maybe, please. Just, I think we probably need to carry on with the rest of the sermon because we could be here for... Here we go. Okay, so now, interestingly, having taken so much time, we begin to see that there is a good analogy in that, because I think we are very much an instantaneous generation. So it's a little bit like, I would love to know more of God and I would love to experience God, but could you just do that on this 5-minute bus trip, please, so that I could just really, I don't know, be charged up for the day. And it doesn't really work like that, does it? We need to be constantly walking with God and practicing the presence of God and seeking him at the bus stop or in the supermarket or in the doctor's surgery, wherever it is. We need to be seeking God's presence. It's not an instantaneous kind of thing. I think that's probably the rip-off version. I've probably got half seeds in that, I think. Anyway, we'll have another go later. So ultimately, okay, as we draw to a close, I want to propose that as I was praying about this week and walking the dog and, you know, kind of having these ideas of Peter and we can see that effectiveness or ineffectiveness, is that, you know, as I was walking the dog, this word praise came to me, but actually breaking down praise in relationship to the Holy Spirit. And I'm not going to take long on this, but it's really kind of a quick overview of what this really looks like in terms of the Holy Spirit. So first of all, P is, I believe, that the Holy Spirit is a person of the Godhead. The Father, Son, and Spirit are persons of the Godhead. And I really do believe that this is where theology is so important. If we don't understand the Holy Spirit as a person of the Godhead, we will struggle to relate to the Holy Spirit. So, you know, we quite often people can call the Holy Spirit it. The Holy Spirit is E. The Holy Spirit is a person of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit is not Jedi Knights saying, use the force. You know, kind of, it's not about mustering up a force. The Holy Spirit is a person of the Godhead. And we need to relate to the Holy Spirit as a person of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit reveals Christ to us. I've spoken about that in terms of what it is to come to faith in Christ. We don't just wake up ourselves and say, do you know what? I think it's a great idea. I think I'll just become a Christian today. There is a process of the Holy Spirit working in your heart, whether that was 5 years old, 7 years old, 10 years old, or 50 years old. The Holy Spirit is always pointing us to Christ. Look at Christ, look at Christ. Revealing Christ in his word. The Holy Spirit illuminates the word of God to us. And I don't know if you had that experience. If you're somebody here today that is a Christian, prior to being a Christian, I used to read the Bible and say, this stuff doesn't, I kind of make sense, but it doesn't kind of really make sense. And then the Holy Spirit working in me began to open up and continues to open up the word to me, continues to illuminate the word of God to me, so that when you read the word, you're like, okay, right, that's what it's saying. That's what it's saying. The Holy Spirit is working in that way. A, there's this adoption that happens through the work of the Holy Spirit and Christ to the Father, so that by the Holy Spirit we can cry, Abba, Father. It's by the Holy Spirit that we can do that. We don't just wake up and say, well, I'm going to recognize God being the Father, Son, Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who enables that adoption to happen, by which we cry, Abba, Father. The I is that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, so that actually when we don't have words to say, that when we struggle with what to say, that there are those groans of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf. The Holy Spirit enables some of us to speak in tongues. As a church, we don't believe that all the gifts have ceased. And I personally find it really helpful to speak in tongues in my personal prayer life, often before I preach, to know and seek what God is saying, that it's an edification of who he is and what he's doing in my life. But some of the elders will say they don't speak in tongues. There's some people here that speak in tongues, some people don't. But actually, we can know that as we seek God, that he intercedes for us, enables us to know what to say when often we don't know what to say. I mean, look at the Paris situation. What do you say to somebody? But actually looking to God and asking the Holy Spirit to give you the words of comfort to bring to somebody. How amazing is that? And then the Holy Spirit sanctifies us. So the Holy Spirit makes us more like Christ. So when we think of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control, we think of what the Holy Spirit is doing in us and through us, that he's making us more like Christ. So that we're not Christ, that's a very important thing to establish. We're not Christ, but he's making us be more like Jesus. So that actually we're growing, as we're thinking about this series of growing, we're growing in the Holy Spirit, becoming more like Christ, being sanctified, becoming more holy, being set apart, because as we seek the work of the Holy Spirit, that's what happens in our life, that we should be growing, becoming more like Christ. And lastly, the Holy Spirit equips us with gifts. We can read, we don't have time to go in them all, but in Corinthians 12, different gifts, whether that's words of knowledge or prophecy, whether that's speaking in tongues, the gifts of administration, the gift of mercy and helps, that the point is that we're not left alone. When Jesus went away, he said, it's better for me to go and send you the helper, the Holy Spirit. So that actually we have been entrusted by Christ to seek the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, it's better for me to go because I'm sending you my helper. My helper who will enable you to live for me and to speak for me. The Holy Spirit equips us with gifts, but gifts where we're filled and where we're sent to serve and love others. And I love this quote by Larry Crabb that says, the flesh always values something more than Christ. It does not have to be pornography. It could be successful family or a growing church, but the Spirit points to a richer treasure. He always holds up Christ. I think that's this great balance, isn't it? The Spirit points to a richer treasure. He always holds up Christ. Here is Jesus. This is Christ. This is how you to live, to trust in him, to know him, to live for him, holding up that greater treasure, Christ. So how do we respond to that as we close? Well, just before I talk about specific areas, why don't we just take a minute now just to ask the Holy Spirit just to speak to us. What's the one thing that the Holy Spirit has been saying to us today that he wants us to take hold of? Let's just take a minute to be still and ask the Holy Spirit to say, what's the one thing you want me to take from this? And as we think about that, imagine what it looks like to not deny Christ, but be led by the Holy Spirit to worship Christ. Imagine what it looks like to not deny Christ, but be led by the Holy Spirit. Imagine what it looks like to be led by the Holy Spirit in your home, as you welcome friends. If you're married, in your relationship to your spouse. If you have children, what does it look like to be led by the Holy Spirit in your home? Is there a distinctiveness? Or are you just like your neighbors that don't know Christ? What does it look like to be led by the Holy Spirit in your home? And imagine what it looks like to go to work on a Monday or a Tuesday where the rain is pouring, to be led by the Holy Spirit. What difference does it make to be led by the Spirit in your workplace? Or if you're still at school, what does it look like to be led by the Holy Spirit at school as people worry about exams and pressure and look at comparing one another with what trainers you have or don't have or what phone you have? What does it look like to be led by the Holy Spirit in the school? What does it look like to be led by the Holy Spirit in college or university? What difference does it make to live for Christ there? Are you living by the power of the Holy Spirit and not our own strength? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this reminder that you are a Trinitarian God, Father, Son, and Spirit. We thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that he has come to be our helper, our comforter, our counselor. We thank you that the Holy Spirit wants to enable us to be empowered with gifts so that we might go with courage and boldness to share the good news of Jesus Christ, that we might encourage one another, that we might become more like Christ, that we might actually see a change in our lives and the lives of others, just as the power comes to the microwave and the lights. So when your power moves in our lives, you bring about change. May we rely on your power and not our own. In Jesus' name, amen. Just as the band come to lead, as the band have led, if you'd like to come for prayer, some of the prayer team and the elders will be available at the front. And if you want to come and sit at the front, and we'd be happy to pray for you regarding what we've spoken about today and how God has been speaking to you. Thank you.